good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome to the program tonight. Vaya con Dios, Gonzalez. Vaya con Dios y vaya a su esposa. Vaya y su hermosas. Goodbye. 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 Despite the fact that Bush stood by his little Mexican sidekick today, senior aides inside the White House told reporters that Torture Boy went down in flames at today's Senate Judiciary Committee hearings and likened the scene to watching a baby seal clubbing. The kindest among them said Gonzalez didn't do himself any favors. Ah, but on the WhiteHouse.gov website tonight, listen to this. President Bush was pleased with the Attorney General's testimony today after hours of testimony in which he answered all of the senator's questions and provided thousands of pages of documents. He again showed that nothing improper occurred. He admitted the matter could have been handled much better, and he apologized for the disruption to the lives of the U.S. attorneys involved, as well as for the lack of clarity in his initial responses. The Attorney General has the full confidence of the President, and he appreciates the work he is doing at the Department of Justice to help keep our citizens safe from terrorists, our children safe from predators, our government safe from corruption, and our streets safe from gang violence. Oh, my God. Gonzalez didn't do the Bush crime family any favors. He really didn't. With every stammering response and claim of sudden, perplexing amnesia, how many times this morning before the lunch break? 57 times. He doesn't recall. I don't remember. 3 months ago? I'm sorry, Senator, I don't remember. But in his way, in Gonzalez's way, he pointed his finger straight at the White House, his index finger. Off camera, we don't know what finger he was pointing at the White House, but on camera, the index finger became increasingly evident in the hearings, as you will hear extensively on the program tonight, Truth Seeker, because I know you've been busy working, and you haven't been around C-SPAN for God's sake 3. That's where they telecast us today. Oh, and on C-SPAN radio. So since you weren't around that, Kathy has been working also. Me, I've just been dorking around today, you know, blowing up the lawnmower and taking the kid to the park. But we have lots of sound for you tonight as to the tone, the tempo, the temper, and just the whole ugly stew that occurred in that Senate hearing room today. You are going to be shocked and awed. You will hear that Torquemada was given directions by Rove and or Myers and, well, somebody. Specifically, which attorneys should be removed, either because they were investigating Republican corruption or weren't diverting badly needed funds and man-hours investigating innocent Democrats. This sure puts the pressure on the Bush White House to compel Rove and Myers to testify in public and under oath. I'm sure those two misfits are none too pleased with Gonzalez over all of this today. Baby seal clubbing indeed. Watching him today makes you wonder exactly how he spent this month, the past month, what has it been, a month, prepping for these hearings, right? That's all we've heard.
Well, he has cleared his calendar. He's preparing for the hearings.
I guess his aides gave up with the coaching and just told him to repeat, I don't recall. I don't recall. I can't recollect that in my recall. My recall doesn't recollect that. Over and over and over. If you count this afternoon's, I don't recalls, you were over 100 when you, like I, probably said, screw it. Seriously. Now, Republicans were equally skeptical with his testimony, all save that great religious leader, Orrin Hatch, the only senator left who will support and come to the defense of Torture Boy. And there's a reason for that. When Torture Boy leaves, Orrin Hatch wants the job. But other than Orrin Hatch, the great Mormon leader, God is his co-pilot. Republicans were equally skeptical, with the exception of Orrin Hatch, with Gonzo's testimony. Even conservative Senator Tom Coburn finally just came out and asked him to resign. It was quite the hearing. Finally, Leahy and Specter concluded around 5 p.m. that there was no point continuing these hearings since Gonzalez was just going to continue to plead amnesia about all the relevant events, facts, times, dates, places, events. Did I say events? Events again. Both Leahy and Specter expressed their bipartisan dissatisfaction with the testimony, and both vowed to continue their investigations as well. Now, of course, it was not a good day for the Bush crime family, but please keep something in mind. Had voters in this country not overwhelmingly turned out, Democratic voters, in the last election to overcome the skewing of the voting machines, to overcome the cheating by the Republicans in 6 or 10 or 15 key states, had that not happened, neither would these hearings have occurred, and the hearings that are going to occur to rip the curtain back and show to the fullest extent the corruption of this filthy, vile, murderous, lying regime run by the Bush crime family. None of this would have happened. None of it. And there's more to come. There's much more to come from these pigs, the Republicans. And it is almost pleasurable, almost, to see Republicans questioning this filthy excuse of an attorney general with the in the manner that the Republicans question him today. Now, this is not a redemption as far as I'm concerned. As far as I'm concerned, Republicans are all still criminals. Arlen Specter, when he was the chairman of this committee, could have called these hearings and did not. There is not a decent Republican in Washington, D.C. Not one. Every single one of them is complicit in corruption, lies, deceit, and trying to move this republic into a totalitarian state. So even though Republicans were questioning, some of the intense questioning that you'll hear tonight comes from Republicans, it doesn't mean a damn thing except this. The wagon has rolled out of the station. The tumbrils are turning. The guillotine is being moved to the village square. Gonzalez, well, and the Republicans don't want to miss out on the show. I was against him. I didn't like him to begin with. Okay. Jump on board, boys. It's a short ride. And then the blade comes down. So that's what you'll hear tonight. Cowardly, disgusting, filthy, Benedict Arnold-style Republicans who, when they realize that the cat now is out of the bag, although they tried their damnedest with Ashcroft and Gonzalez to keep all of this information from the public. Every single one of these. Lindsey Graham, kiss my grits. All of you Republicans are disgusting. Every single one of you on the Senate Judiciary Committee. And it was just humorous to watch you today attack and baby seal club one of your own. And, oh, the other pig on that committee, the one that just... Oh, my God. The, what's his name? The one from Texas. What's the guy from Texas? Cornyn. Cornyn, Cornyn and the, holier than thou, damn, too many names. Orrin Hatch. Sam Brownback, all of these people, it was just something to watch. And we're going to ask you to take a seat, front row, center of your mind, the theater of your mind, and listen. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Have you seen the bigger piggies in the starched white shed? You will find the bigger piggies staring dig up the dirt.
Very comfortable in the job because I've got great advice and advisors to whom I get good advice from, great advisors to whom I listen.
Oh, God. Oh, gag me with a subpoena. Oh, my God. All right, just a quick overview here. Gonzalez told the people on the Senate committee today that he, his words, never sought to deceive them. Well, that's certainly a relief. He testified at least 55 times at the morning session that he couldn't recall events he was asked about. Senator Charles Grassley, Republican of Iowa, asked Gonzalez, quote, why is your story changing, end quote. Grassley noted that Gonzalez was now accepting responsibility for the firings after initially saying he had nothing to do with it. In response, Gonzalez replied that his earlier answers had been, his word, overboard, and the result of inadequate preparation? Son of a bitch. I can't get my mind around this. In order to tell the truth, just kidding here, Gonzalez, Rumsfeld, Bush, Cheney, all of these pigs have to prepare in order to tell the truth. Gonzalez said, quote, the moment I believe I can no longer be effective, I will resign as Attorney General, end quote. And then, of course, he made the point of saying that time was not now. And for a while, the Bush crime family offered some support. Too much cappuccino Perino told reporters today, quote, I think the president has full confidence in his Attorney General. Well, we'll see in the next few days, won't we? All right, let's begin this bloodbath. This should be either entertaining or edifying, depending on your perspective on all this. I found it mostly entertaining. If you are a regular follower of KPHX in Phoenix and Nova M in general, none of this stuff will come as news to you. But it's interesting to hear how the senators and the man in the dock engineered their weird little dance, their pas de deux of subterfuge and obfuscation, and did I just use obfuscation in a sentence? Well, a partial sentence. Let's begin with Mr. Gonzalez in his opening statement explaining how he's been hurt by the allegations that he's a liar.
I want to address allegations that I have failed to tell the truth about my involvement in these resignations. These attacks on my integrity have been very painful to me. Now, to be sure, I should have been more precise when discussing this matter. I understand why some of my statements generated confusion. And I have subsequently tried to clarify my words.
Waterboard him!
My misstatements were my mistakes, no one else's. And I accept complete and full responsibility here as well. That said, I've always sought the truth in every aspect of my professional and personal life.
Jesus, God.
This matter has been no exception.
Yeah.
Never sought to mislead or deceive the Congress or the American people.
Uh-huh.
To the contrary, I have been extremely forthcoming with information.
I've been extremely forthcoming with information. I'm so hurt. All right, Arlen Specter challenges Gonzalez on his faulty memory and failure to recall most of the pertinent facts related to Attorneygate. This exchange got kind of heated as Arlen Specter asked about Gonzo's lies at his March 14th press conference.
Don't have much time, and it's necessary to go through it at a rather summary basis, but I know you're familiar with this record because I know you've been preparing for this hearing.
I prepare for every hearing, Senator.
You prepare for all your press conferences? Were you prepared for the press conference where you said there weren't any discussions involving you?
Senator, I've already said that I misspoke. It was my mistake.
I'm asking you, were you prepared? You interjected that you're always prepared. Were you prepared for that press conference?
Senator, I didn't say that I was always prepared. I said I prepared for every hearing.
Well, and I'm asking you, do you prepare for your press conferences?
Senator, we do take time to try to prepare for the press conference.
And were you prepared when you said you weren't involved in any deliberations?
Senator, I've already conceded that I misspoke at that press conference.
Well, touche and touche. Well, all right. Watch out, Senator Spector. We have a whole file on you, senor. We know all about your lies in the water, in the Kennedy thing, you know. We have dossiers on you, Senator. Watch out with that questioning attitude of yours, Senator. Didn't you get the memo from Karl Rove? Back off. Oh, it gets much better. It gets much better. Coming back, Spector and Gonzo again. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio Network.
Your Day Screaming with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Lonely, I'm Mr. Lonely. I have nobody for my own.
I'm just a poor little Mexican boy who went to Harvard. I don't know why everybody's picking on me.
Mr. Lonely.
I just feel like a baby seal. Senator Arlen Specter, Republican of PA, recited several of the specific controversial evaluations and firings of the attorneys and asked Gonzo how he could consider that he personally was only involved on a limited basis on these individual firings, given the fact that he was attending all the meetings and had conversations with Rove and Bush and Cheney about all of them. Gonzo gave the conflicting answer that while his decision to fire the attorneys was sound, he only had limited knowledge about their actual performance. I think. Is that what I said? I don't know. What did I say? That's what his partial recollection allowed.
Weren't you involved in the evaluation of U.S. Attorney Lamb?
Senator, of course, I was involved in trying to understand.
Weren't you involved in the decision on the removal of Arkansas U.S. Attorney Bud Cummings, as Kyle Sampson testified?
Sir, I have no recollection about that, but I presume that that is true.
Weren't you involved in the decisions with respect to U.S. Attorney Iglesias in New Mexico?
I do recall having the conversation with Mr. Rove. I now understand that there was a conversation between myself and the president.
You were involved in the process.
I was involved in the process, yes, sir.
Were you involved to a limited extent only?
Yes, sir.
Now we've got to evaluate whether the limited number of circumstances that I have recited, and it's only a limited number, there are many, many more, whether you are being candid in saying that you were involved only to a limited, you only had a, quote, limited involvement in the process. As to being candid and also as to having sound judgment, if you consider that limited. And
what?
As we recite these, we have to evaluate whether you are really being forthright and saying that you, quote, should have been more precise, close quote, when the reality is that your characterization of your participation is just totally, significantly, if not totally, at variance with the facts.
What?
You're talking about a series of events that occurred over approximately 700 days. I don't recall. Here's what, Senator, what I recall is, I probably had thousands of conversations during that time.
Yeah.
And so putting it in context, Senator, I would say that my involvement was limited.
Sure, I may be the Attorney General, but that doesn't mean anything. I have limited contact. And by the way, did you hear me mention Rove's name? By the way, Senator, did you hear me mention the President? There's a couple of clues for you. Senator, talk a lot, huh? What do you think? Inspector uses the word candid. Come on, Arlen. Can you just for one? I know you're close to getting real. I know you're close to being born again here. But all you have to say, instead of saying, "Well, I don't think you're being candid," why don't you say, "I think you're a lying son of a bitch"? Why don't you just go ahead? It's okay. America will forgive you that language. Come on, come on. They forgive me every night. Why don't you say it? Why don't you just say it, Arlen? Ted Kennedy follows now, asking who Torture Boy spoke with at the Justice Department about these suspicious firings. How can Torquemada claim he had limited knowledge about the attorneys, all these attorneys' backgrounds, but also claim that his decision to fire them was justified and should stand? See, he can't have it both ways. I know nothing, but I know everything. I know nothing, but I made the decision. I made the decision based on the nothing that I know. This is how just maddening this gets. Wouldn't all that in itself make the firing suspect? He says the firings are justified, but I don't know anything about these people. Kennedy wants to know about the meetings Gonzo had at the Justice Department about these attorneys. And what information was he using to base his decision that these eight should be fired? And again, Gonzo just can't remember.
You indicated, as Senator Spector mentioned, that you had limited involvement and that the process, and then you say, my decision is justified and should stand. How can you give a blanket statement that the Department of Justice makes decisions based on evidence when we don't have the rationale even for the firings of the individuals at the time that they were fired?
Senator, I believe that I had a good process when this began.
Let me ask about the process, if I could, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you speak to anyone else in the Department of Justice about any of these U.S. attorneys about their performance prior to the time that they were fired?
I want to address allegations. I don't recall in connection with this review process that Mr. Sampson was engaged in, and I recall a meeting at the department. I don't recall everyone who was there.
It was Mr. Sampson. It wasn't me, Senator. Senator, I have one word for you. Chappaquiddick. How's that? You son of a bitch, leave me alone. Carl said you wouldn't pick on me like this. And by the way, are you aware of how feminine Gonzalez sounds? I can't get away from that. You know, he sounds like a girl on a playground, doesn't he? He really does. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but, you know, I mean, very seldom do you hear a male in this position of almost utter absolute power. Arguably, he wields more power over the lives of more human beings than anyone in the history of this country who has held the position of Attorney General, and probably wields more power, life and death power, over more human beings than anyone other than a handful of his superiors in the White House. And he sounds like a little girl. My God, he makes Dana Perino sound like she's just, no, you can't say that. Sounds like she's just pumped with testosterone. What's with this guy?
Well, Senator, I don't know. I don't remember. I think it was Kyle Sampson. It wasn't me. May I be excused now? I have to go to the bathroom. Just for a minute. I'll be right back.
Senator Sam Brownback then asked Gonzalez to explain why each of the attorneys was fired, starting with Attorney Daniel Bogdan of Nevada. Gonzo, who claims he takes responsibility as any attorney general should, for each of these decisions, just can't recall why Bogdan was like, I don't know. Remember, Gonzo has had a month of very arduous grilling and studying and dry runs over these questions with his staff to prepare for these hearings, and the best defense they could devise was,
Senator, I don't recall.
Daniel Bogdan of Nevada, why was he terminated?
I do not recall what I knew about Mr. Bogdan on December 7th. That's not to say that I wasn't given a reason. I just don't recall the reason. I didn't have an independent basis, a recollection of knowing about Mr. Bogdan's performance.
A Brownback then asks about attorney Margaret Chiara of Michigan. Gonzo really didn't know about her case either.
Gee, what did they do at the Justice Department last month to prep Gonzo for this hearing?
Margaret Chiara, the Western District of Michigan.
Same issue. She's the other person, quite candidly, Senator, that I don't recall remembering. I don't recall the reason why that I accepted the decision on December 7th.
I don't recall remembering. I don't remember recalling either. Why are you asking me all these questions? Oh, my God. I got all dressed up to come here, and you're asking me.
Brownback then asked about the controversial firing of Bud Cummings of Arkansas to be replaced by Karl Rove's good friend Tim Griffin. First, Gonzo claims he was confused. I'm confused. And then admitted that Cummings was cast aside to make room for Tim Griffin. The baby-faced neophyte Gonzo called well-qualified. Yeah, kind of like Jeffy Lube Gannon was a well-qualified White House correspondent, too, right? Right. Right.
Is she Bud Cummings of Arkansas?
Senator, I don't recall. I myself was confused, quite frankly, when I testified on January 18th. I had forgotten that, in fact, Mr. Cummings had been asked to resign on June 14th. And the reason I did is because Mr. Cummings left basically the same time as everyone else did. Mr. Cummings was asked to resign because there was another well-qualified individual that the White House had wanted to put in place there that we supported because he was well qualified.
Oh yeah, and he had some other endowments too, but we won't go into that. But anyway, I don't know. I hate these questions. I just hate this.
I hate these questions. God,
this the preparation for this.
Have we played enough so far? We have more. To lead you into the same blind alley that we were led into today, all the talk about clearing his schedule, like he has a schedule. This guy is into justice the same way I'm into, clubbing baby seals. This is not a Justice Department a person. This is not an attorney general. This is some pissant that, because he knows George W. Bush and is easily manipulable, got the job as attorney general. What in the hell was he doing? Preparation. You know what the preparation was? How to run from the truth. How to keep it hid, tamped down. More when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy.
I don't recall. I don't remember recalling.
Slip slide.
I'm a little frightened about getting on the computer.
Had no father who had a son. He loved to death.
10 before the hour, Clint says, he emails in about the Gonzalez preparation. The only preparation Gonzalez may have had was Preparation H. Sounds like he needed it. Ron in Briarwood, New York says, seeing the utter incompetence of Gonzalez concerning his mishandling of this matter, I can only think of all those death row inmates in Texas whose very lives were in his hands. This is a man who prepared reviews of death penalty cases when the dim sun was governor of Texas. Oh, my God. That's very true. Can you imagine how many innocent people, literally innocent, not on technicalities, innocent, were executed under Gonzalez and Bush's watch in Texas? No, don't even think about it. Diane Feinstein asks, whose idea was to change the law using the Patriot Act to basically allow Torture Boy here to appoint so-called loyal Bushies as U.S. attorneys while bypassing Senate confirmation? Gonzo stutters and stammers, but again has a major memory lapse.
Whose idea was it to change the law in an amendment written by your staff, conveyed by your staff, Mr. Michella, to Senator Spector's staff, Brett Tolman, on or about November 15th, 2005, to add in conference, without sharing it with any member of this committee, an amendment which effectively gave you the ability to replace U.S. attorneys without Senate confirmation? Whose idea was this?
Senator, I don't recall specifically the genesis of the idea. Although, in going back and looking at the documents, it appears that there was some thinking about this as early as 2004.
Yeah.
I don't have any recollection about the mechanics of getting it the legislative process.
You don't have a recollection?
No, I don't. I don't have a recollection in my mind. Or in my feet, or in my hip pocket, nowhere. I'm going back looking at the transcripts, though. Apparently, something happened. Something happened. I just don't recollect it in my mind. I can't. I'm sorry, Senator. I just can't recollect it.
DiFi continues asking, who was the decider on the list of attorneys to be fired, since he's made three contradictory statements on who had the final decision on the firings and seems to have very sketchy knowledge on the details surrounding each case? Like, I don't know. And that's just in today's testimony. So Gonzalez's faux Alzheimer's kicks in yet again on how he came to the decision to ask for these eight resignations.
I'm the Attorney General. I make the decision.
I'm unsure whether you were really the decider on this list or not, because your written comments printed yesterday say, I did not make decisions about who should or should not be asked to resign. Today you said three different things. I accepted the decision of the staff. I accepted the recommendations of the staff. And then, sort of a vague statement, I made my decision.
Senator,
who was the decider?
I don't recall exactly when the decision. I made the decision.
So, in writing, you clearly say I did not make decisions about who should or should not. This is, I guess, one of the problems is that all of this has been kind of constant equivocation.
Mr. Sampson periodically updated me on the review. During those updates, to my knowledge, I don't recall ever saying, even though they were still in the deliberative process, ever saying, no, take that person off or that, or add this person. I don't recall ever doing that.
I just can't remember it. I might have been out playing with my hoop and my jacks and my little rubber ball, but I don't remember. Maybe I was playing hopscotch, because, you know, the girls and I like to do that. We do on our coffee breaks, but I don't remember. I just, oh, God, I'm trying, Senator. I'm honestly sitting here trying. But nobody will cut me any slack. I'm just trying to be a good Bushy. I didn't do anything. You know, let me tell you the story again about how my parents came here from Mexico. Can I do that again? They were legal. Well, at least one of them was. No, you don't want to hear that one again? Oh, God. They never told me it would be like this. I feel like Vince Foster. Well, not quite. I don't know what to do.
I'll tell you what let's do, Gonzo. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll have Russ Feingold talk to Gonzalez. And Alabama's Jeff Sessions, who has a mouthful of red clay and has had a mouthful of red clay since he was born. And Pat Leahy and Lindsey Graham. don't get me started on Lindsey Graham. And then Dick Durbin, who talks like this. And then Senator Grassley again. And then somebody named Ben Cardin of Maryland. He's a senator? Never heard of him.
And then, of course, Tom Coburn, where's he from? He's from Oklahoma, too, right? I love listening to these people. I love listening to their accents, how they just keep flip-flopping around. I mean, you go from the dirt eaters like Jeff Sessions to the people that talk through their eye sockets like Pat Leahy, to people that talk through their sinus passages like Dick Durbin. What? Oh, well, that's how I amuse myself. What? To sit and listen to this garbage and to try to take this stuff seriously? I realize it's the Attorney General of the United States, a constitutional officer who, like Bush, has zero respect for the document he has sworn to uphold and defend. So what are you going to do? Take this stuff seriously? These bastards should all be run out of town. They should be impeached, removed from office, thrown out. Send them back wherever the hell they came and get our republic back. But in the meantime, you gotta laugh. Welcome back, 6:30 past the hour. The other thing that is extremely irritating about this, CNN, of course, reported earlier today that the senior White House advisors, oh, Jesus, you know, why don't they just name them? Rove being one and Dan Bartlett being the other, obviously, are realizing that Gonzalez went down in flames. Everyone is discouraged. Everyone's disappointed. Those are the quotes that Suzanne Malvo was able to share with her rapidly diminishing audience. But the part that really got to me is that sources inside the White House said that the White House, I hate it when they do that. Why don't they say the president? The White House is waiting to see how this plays out with the public and members of Congress over the next couple of days. Right. This is the administration doesn't pay any attention to public opinion or polls, right? Ah, well, it's not us. It's the White House. It's this big edifice sitting here, the plaster and the the boards and the nails. It's waiting. We just work here. We don't know. The White House will tell us. You know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, fire the son of a bitch. It'll come echoing through the walls. We know it will. These people make me sick. Oh my God, they make me sick.
We don't govern by polls. We just don't govern by polls.
Russ Feingold asks Gonzo if you ever asked his deputy and would-be fall guy, Kyle Sampson, specifically who at the White House he was speaking to about this potential firing list. You know, I mean, somebody somewhere, right, Gonzo? There's got to be some substance. It can't just all be ectoplasm hanging around behind curtains and stairwells, just some kind of a gaseous green somebody had to approve this list. Well, it looks like Rove ate Gonzo's homework again. The more Gonzo claimed faulty memory, the more Gonzo and Samson and McNulty and Battle and the rest point the finger at each other as to who comprised this list. The more it looks like the White House that edifice of nails and boards, sent the list to Gonzo to implement. Ooh. Oh, and of course, let's not forget Monica Goodling's recent resignation also.
Kyle Sampson has testified that he kept you generally informed about the process of identifying U.S. attorneys who might be asked to step down. Did you ever ask him for specific information about who he was speaking to in connection with this process or what he was doing to follow up and check out the information he received?
Senator, I can't recall whether or not at the time he made the recommendations that I said, who did you consult with? And whose recommendations are these? I'll tell you what I understood.
Let me continue. That's a sufficient answer. You said you don't recall having done that. Did you at any time probe the information that Kyle Sampson provided to you, including the recommendations that he ultimately made in the seven U.S. attorneys to be fired?
Sir, I don't recall having specific questions or about specific reasons. I do recall that when the recommendations were made, I was not surprised to see five of the names on the list.
Did you ever talk to Deputy Attorney General Mr. McNulty about whether he was comfortable with the process that was underway?
I don't recall such a conversation, but afterwards, on the evening of Mr. Sampson's testimony,
I asked facts prior to.
I want to get to the bottom of this as well, Senator, just as you do. I want to reassure the American people that there was nothing improper about what happened.
Well, I appreciate that sentiment at this point, but you didn't know then, and you don't know today how each of these people actually made it onto that list that you were presented with on November 27th.
You know, Senator, I'm just like Donnie Rumsfeld. I want to get to the bottom of this. I really do. I'm like George Bush. I want to get to the bottom. Who leaked Valerie Plame's name? Damn it. I want to get to the bottom of this. I swear I do, Senator, but I just can't remember anything. Son of a gun. Oh, Senator.
Okay, now here comes Jeff Sessions from Alabama. Jeff Sessions reminds Gonzo of his March 13 press conference statements, which contradicted his previous testimony, which contradicted the testimony prior to that, which in its turn contradicted just about everything Gonzalez has ever said. And it also contradicts the testimony of Kyle Sampson, Gonzalez's, chief deputy. Then Jeff Sessions stated his incredulity that Gonzalez didn't remember the detail of the meeting he attended last November, which was a big meeting. That was a big one at which the firing list was finalized. And Gonzalez doesn't remember. Okay, if Gonzalez doesn't remember a meeting of this importance, shouldn't he, just resign based on his obvious mental incapacity? But Gonzo draws another blank.
In that press conference, you stated, I was not involved in seeing any memos, was not involved in any discussions about what was going on. And in a later press conference, you said, I don't recall being involved in deliberations involving the question of whether or not a United States attorney should or should not be asked to resign. I didn't focus on specific concerns about individuals. Now, Mr. Sampson then had testified that there was a meeting, a final meeting, I guess, when this was discussed in some detail, and that you were present. Do you recall that meeting and where it took place?
Senator, I have searched my memory. My understanding is as I reviewed Mr. Sampson's public testimony, was that he had hazy recollections about it as well. But in any event, I have no recollection of that meeting.
I don't remember anything. I don't remember a thing. I have no recollection. Nothing.
Jeff Sessions continues on the November 27th Department of Justice meeting where the details of the firings were hashed out again, indicating that Gonzalez's claim that he doesn't remember anything just isn't, really credible.
This was not that long ago. This was in November of last year.
No, according to my calendar, November 27th.
Mr. Sampson seemed to indicate that he understood it was a momentous decision and that there would probably be political backlash. He'd even performed some outline about how that should be managed. You don't recall any of that?
Senator, I can only testify as to what I recall.
Which ain't squat.
Senator, I just don't recall anything. I don't. I can remember going out and playing with the girls, but I don't remember any of this stuff you're talking about. Man, when did all this go on? Wow. Kyle Sampson said that? Really? You? Wow. No, I did. I don't remember.
Pat Leahy, the nose talker, then interjects to clarify the point. If Gonzo can't remember being at the November meeting where the firing decision was made, how can he be sure, in fact, that he was the one that made the the decision at all? If you don't remember you were there when the decision was made, how can you remember making the decision? Oh, my God. I bet Karl Rove really started getting sweaty at this point today. Now, I love Gonzo's answer. It's so newspeak. He didn't remember when he made the decision he remembered making.
Attorney General, you said in answer to Senator Sessions' question, you don't recall the November 27 meeting where you made the decision. But how can you be sure you made the decision?
Senator, I recall making the decision for Miss. I recall making the decision.
When?
Sir, I don't recall when the decision was made.
Jesus God! See what happened, Senator? Winston Smith ran into my bedroom and just took everything and threw it down the memory hole. So I don't remember anything. I remember them making the decision. Sure I do. Let me see. It was raining that day. And I had just coming in. I just had come in from playing hopscotch with the other girls on the block. And that's all I can remember. I'm sorry, Senator.
Now the time has come to part, the time for weeping. Vaya con Dios, my darling. Vaya con Dios, my love. Now the village mission bells are softly ringing. If you listen with your heart, you'll hear them singing.
Yes,
don't be left out. Join your friends at the NSA and Homeland Security and listen to Mike Malloy every single night. They never miss a minute.
21 past the hour. It should be apparent to you now that what we are listening to is how a plot unravels, how a plot against the United States of America unravels. What was this all about? As pointed out on one of the websites today, for 6 years this administration, aided by this corrupt Justice Department under two highly corrupt attorneys general, has pursued an aggressive legal effort to restrict voter turnout in key battleground states in ways that favored Republican political candidates. That's what this is all about. That's what this is completely about. Republicans, and if people don't realize this now, and I think most people do, except the really hardcore fundamentalist dominionist Christian right, and that's the part I don't get. How can Christians support thugs, killers, and liars? Well, the answer is very simple, Mike. They're not Christians. They just claim to be. But I would assume that most people understand now, even people who voted Republican, how corrupt, how unbelievably corrupt this entire 6 years of the Bush crime family has really been. How every single institution in this country, either constituted by law or part of the original Constitution, whether it's been the military or agencies designed to keep us as safe as possible, nobody gives you a guarantee when you're born, but since we live in a capitalist society, a society that takes care of capital, the only way to survive The only way to survive is to have government agencies, government, you know, that's you and me, that kind of watchdog things, just to make sure that the rapists, the thieves, the liars, don't rape and thieve and steal too much. But that's not what these people wanted. Is it not clear? Sure it is. And for you people who insist on calling yourself Republicans, I can just say what I've said a million times. I'm not going to cuss you out. Just shame on you. Shame on you. To support a gang that wants to destroy the country that gave you every single thing you've got. Oh, and don't tell me that you pulled yourself up by your bootstraps or it's because of your wonderful mind. No, it's not. It's because the Democrats for the past 80 years have made it easy for people to get things done in this country. And the Republicans now have come along and they're trying to just cut your throat, you idiot. You Republican idiot. Lindsey Graham takes the mic and accuses Gonzalez of firing first and then making up excuses as to why he fired them later. Gonzalez disagrees with this assessment, but has absolutely no evidence to back up his claim that these firings weren't politically motivated and initiated by all that mortar and brick at the White House. Wow, the Republicans getting tough on Gonzo. Wonder how Bush is going to stand by his man now.
My basic problem is that I think it's clear to me that some of these people just had personality conflicts with people in your office or at the White House, and, you know, we made up reasons to fire them. Some of it sounds good, some of it doesn't, and that's the lesson to be learned here.
Sir, I respectfully disagree with that. I really do.
But I don't recall why I disagree with it, but I disagree with it, Senator, and I have no recollection in my mind, but I know I disagree with it, so... Now Gonzalez switches tactics. Instead of saying ad infinitum that he doesn't recall, he now just claims the events didn't happen, despite other witnesses and sworn testimony to the contrary. For example, Dick Durbin asked him about Patrick Fitzgerald and his plane gate investigation. Gonzo's deputy, Kyle Sampson, said he spoke to Harriet Myers and Gonzo about the possibility of replacing Fitzgerald in the middle of this investigation. Gonzo now says, well, that never happened.
Are you aware of the fact that Kyle Sampson testified under oath that he recommended to Harriet Myers that Patrick Fitzgerald also be removed as a U.S. attorney as part of this purge?
I'm aware of what he said in his testimony, yes, sir.
Did he speak to you before he made that recommendation and tell you that he was going to ask for Patrick Fitzgerald to be removed in the middle of this investigation of the White House?
I don't recall him speaking to me about that, sir.
It didn't happen, it did happen, or you don't recall?
I don't think that conversation occurred.
Now, Mr. Gonzalez, this is the highest profile U.S. attorney
yes.
in America. He's investigating the White House, including people that you have worked with for years.
I don't recall.
And now your chief of staff is going to make a recommendation to the president's White House counsel that he be removed as U.S. attorney, and you can't remember that conversation?
Senator, I don't think that conversation happened.
Jesus, God.
It never happened. Honestly, Senator Durbin, it never happened. It didn't happen. And if it did happen, I don't recall. But I recall that it didn't happen.
Struggle.
Moving right along at 26 before the hour, Senator Grassley then becomes another Republican who expects truth from the head of the Justice Department. God, what a concept, huh? Truth from any of these bastards. Truth from Ashcroft? Truth from Cheney? Truth from Rumsfeld? Truth from the shoe lady? Truth from whom? Please. Grassley wants to know why Gonzo's stories keep changing about what meetings he attended, what was discussed at those meetings. Of course, Gonzo can't recall because, you know, it was right around Christmas. He got too excited waiting for Santa to come and bring him a new dolly.
I'd like to start by asking you for an explanation as to why there are so many inconsistencies. In prior statements, you indicated that you really hadn't been involved in any discussions or deliberations to remove the U.S. attorneys. But emails indicated that you had discussions with Mr. Sampson about this in late 2004, early 2005, and that you attended a November 2006 meeting just prior to the firings. Mr. Sampson testified before this committee that your statements weren't fully accurate, and your testimony today backtracks on what you said earlier. Why is your story changing? Can you tell us who came up with a plan to evaluate U.S. attorneys?
The meeting, the email that you're referring to, the discussion that happened in either, I think, January 05, as I recall, Senator, it would relate to a discussion that would have happened in Christmas week, between Christmas and New Year's. I don't have a recollection of that discussion, quite frankly.
I was waiting for the baby Jesus. You know, that's the baby Jesus time. I'm sorry.
Then Grassley asks, who at the White House Gonzo spoke with about the firings? Gonzo really has no answer for this one.
Who did you discuss the review with at the White House? Did you question any of the recommendations? Were you comfortable with the process and the methodology for the final recommendations? And what was your personal input in that process?
Senator, as to whether or not I had a specific conversation with individuals about the review process is not something that I can recall having, that kind of conversation.
Jesus, God, I remember nothing. I don't know anything. I know nothing. I don't know my own name, my belt size. When the last time my old lady went to the gynecologist, I remember nothing. Do I have children? I don't know. I can't recollect. Senator Ben Cardin of Maryland then asked with great skepticism how Gonzalez could stand by these firings knowing what we know today, and especially knowing that Gonzo himself can't even explain why two of the attorneys were fired to begin with. Again, what did this man do to prepare for the hearing? Gonzo stands by his decision, which he claims is really Kyle Sampson's decision, but he stood by it even though Sampson resigned for his misconduct in this fiasco. So Gonzo stands by somebody's decision, which might be his decision, even though he doesn't remember why he made it, or if it was his decision, or when he made it, or what time it is. Why is the theme from the TV show Soap running through my head?
Looking at all the information we now know, you still stand by the decision that this was the right thing to do, the dismissal of these attorneys?
I do, Senator. I do. One thing we have to understand, and I've gone back and thought about this a lot,
yeah,
believe me, and looking at the documents, and I had a conversation with the Deputy Attorney General about this, whether or not this was still the right decision.
Did he
stand behind his recommendation?
Yeah.
And based on what I know today, I do stand behind the decision.
I really do. And I talked to the trees out in my backyard, and the other day I was taking my Pekingese for a walk, and I tripped over a crack, and an acorn fell. And I, you know, Senator, I've spent an awful lot of time opening cans of Campbell's minestrone. And what was the question, Senator?
It's the Ronald Reagan defense. He can't recall anything.
Nothing.
But the thing that got me about this particular question was, and actually several of the questions, because he kept saying, well, I talked to Kyle Sampson. I've asked Kyle Sampson to remember, to, you know, he stands by his decision, and he explained his rationale to me, and I keep thinking, but didn't Sampson resign because of his own misconduct. So Gonzalez is referring to someone who has resigned over their own misconduct in this affair and using that as his authority. You know, the guy who left.
Look what I can do with strings. I put them around my fingers like this, and I pull. And this is called La Cradle del Gato. That's what this is. Ah, you like that, Senator?
Oklahoma Republican Tom Coburn just cut to the chase and told him to resign, saying he should be judged by, you know, the same standards as was the so-called reason the U.S. attorneys were fired. You know, like incompetence? The difference is that Gonzo really is incompetent. Unlike the U.S. attorneys, it kind of makes me miss old John Jesus of Missouri Ashcroft.
Why should you not be judged by the same standards at which you judge these dismissed U.S. attorneys?
Senator, again, I've identified my mistakes, and Senator, what I can commit to you is that I've acknowledged mistakes. We all make mistakes.
Mr. Attorney General, it's my considered opinion that the exact same standards should be applied to you and how this was handled. It was handled incompetently. The communication was atrocious.
But,
it was inconsistent. It's generous to say that there were misstatements. It's a generous statement.
And
I believe you ought to suffer the consequences that these others have suffered. And I believe the best way to put this behind us is your resignation.
But Senator, everybody makes mistakes. Jesus made a mistake. I don't recall any recollections. And besides, George Bush loves me.
Patrick Leahy's second turn gave him a chance to ask Gonzo which of his many inconsistent statements of the last few months should be believed.
You know, what are we going to believe? Which one? Here's a list. Well, what do we believe there, Mr. Attorney General? Do you realize what these bastards have done to the Department of Justice of the United States of America? Do you realize what these bastards have done to the Supreme Court? What these bastards have done to the United States military? What these bastards have done to every regulatory agency in this country? And what these bastards have done to the Constitution? Do you understand it as we sit here and mock these sons of bitches? Do you understand what they've done? Leahy wants Gonzo to sort out the inconsistent statements. Which should we believe? Because there's been so many of them. Gonzo says he'd answer any specific concern Leahy asked, taking into consideration his faulty memory, of course.
See, part of my problem is we've had a number of statements about the dismissal of these eight U.S. attorneys. I just want to know which one is the accurate one. Your January 18 testimony, your March 7 op-ed in USA Today, or your March 13 press conference, or your March 26 interview with Pete Williams on MSNBC, or your written testimony that is submitted in advance today, or your live testimony here today. Which one is the one we should grab hold of and say, this is the accurate statement. This is the one we can go to the bank with.
Senator, again, I've not done anything intentional, and I have made misstatements, and those misstatements are my mistakes, and I accept responsibility for it. If there are specific issues that you have questions about, I'm happy to try to answer your question.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Let's go back and start all over again then. Good God. 5 hours this son of a bitch has sat there and denied and hidden. I don't recall. I don't remember. I don't have a recollection. My mind doesn't work. My ass is falling off. My elbows hurt. I don't know what you're talking about. Who, when, where, what, how.
But if you have any specific questions, Senator, I'll be happy to give it a shot. See, Senator, this is what I rehearsed. This is what I rehearsed for the past 2 months, how to drive you right out of your crawl space, Leahy. And by the way, when you question me, why don't you get the phlegm out of your throat?
Do you know how irritating it is to sit here and listen to you talk around that big wad of mucus? God, you people make me sick.
I'm gonna have to put you in your place. You know, if silence was golden, you couldn't raise a dime. Because your mind is on vacation and your mouth is working overtime. You quoting figures and dropping names. You're telling stories about the days. You're over laughing when things ain't funny. You're trying to sound like this big money. You know if talk was criminal, you'd lead a life of crime. Because your man is on vacation and your mouth is working overtime.
Email, however, and there's a reason. I don't want you reading my personal stuff.
Most peculiar, Mama.
And there's a reason for that.
So after Gonzo offered Senator Leahy the opportunity, if Leahy wanted to take it, if you have any specific concern, Senator, I'll you know. So Leahy takes Gonzo up on the challenge and asks him about the missing email scandal that's all, you know, tied to all this. Patrick Fitzgerald said he had all of Rove's email as a result of his Plaingate investigation, and so did the Justice Department. So why can't Gonzo hand them over to the Senate committee? You know, 1 + 1 = 2. This time Gonzo uses a combination of defenses. He, of course, can't recall, but he also claims the email do not even exist. And why should they? We're all in Bush world.
U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald, part of the Department of Justice, obtained all of Mr. Rove's emails as part of the investigation into the leak of the identity of a covert CIA operative. If that is the case, those emails would be in your possession or in the possession of the Department of Justice. What do we have to do to obtain Mr. Rove's emails relevant to the development and implementation of the plan to replace U.S. attorneys and the committee's investigation into that matter?
Senator, I was not aware that I didn't see that article. I wasn't aware that Mr. Fitzgerald had that information, or if, in fact, the department still has that information, so I'd have to go back and look to see what, in fact, the facts are.
If he does have the information, and it involves emails relevant to the development and implementation of the U.S. Attorney's plan,
Senator,
available to us?
Senator, I believe that those, well, Senator, I don't know if
there are
these emails. What I'm saying is if, in fact, they exist, I don't have the answer to that, Senator.
I don't know. I know nothing. I'm just the Attorney General. Jesus, why are you asking me these questions? All I want to do is turn down a request for clemency and see people executed in Austin. That's all. I don't want to do all this. Leahy concludes his query into the missing email. Was there any audit of these email? Any investigation as what happened to these emails or where they are now? Why, of course not. What, are you crazy? Despite all of the Bush crime family's claims that they want to get to the bottom of it, we're just kidding, you know. I mean, come on.
Well, as White House counsel, did you conduct any audit or oversight of the use of non-governmental emails by White House personnel?
Senator, I don't recall there being an audit. We provided guidance, but I don't recall such an audit.
Is anyone investigating this issue now?
I don't know.
At the Department of Justice?
Are you aware of anyone investigating this issue now?
Senator, from what I understand in the papers is that I think the counsel's office is looking to see what happened here. I don't know if that's what you mean by an investigation. I think there is an effort, but I haven't spoken to the counsel's office about this issue as to whether or not they're doing an investigation to see what happened.
I don't know.
And you're not doing any investigation from the Department of Justice?
No.
Senator, I'm not aware that there is an investigation that's ongoing with respect to this issue.
As a matter of fact, Senator, could you define investigation? I don't know what. The investigations where? Who, how, when? Senator, you're getting tricky with me, right? Investigation into what? Oh my God, my head hurts. I just want to go outside and jump rope. I play hopscotch or jacks. I just want to do the little girl things that I love doing. I'm sorry, you know. Oh, my stomach hurts. My head hurts. What you're listening to are United States senators questioning a man who is the highest law enforcement officer in the United States. He is part of a group of less than 200, I would imagine, since this country was founded. This incompetent little twit, this useless, in the great scheme of this country, half-ass, who has rewritten the law to allow Cheney and Bush to order torture of other human beings for sport. This piglet, who not only disrespects the law, case law, constitutional law, state laws, it doesn't make any difference. If it doesn't further Karl Rove's Republican agenda, it is meaningless. It is beyond meaningless. As Gonzo has said, it doesn't exist. Nothing exists. The only things that exist, senators, are what we say exists. Haven't you all read 1984? Don't you remember what O'Brien tried to make clear to Winston Smith? We decide what's real. We decide whether or not 2 and 2 is 4, 2 and 2 is 5, or whether or not the concept doesn't even exist. Jesus, Leahy and Sessions, don't you people get it what we're about up here? We don't care about this stuff. Law, Constitution, what are you talking about? We are creating reality, senators. We are creating reality in the Middle East, on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, here in Washington. And you know what, senators? By God, we're creating reality in your minds. And that's the most essential part of what we're about. We are creating reality in your minds. Oh my God. We'll have the remainder of this when we come back. You don't want to miss it. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. A couple of emails here, and then we're going to finish up with these questions and non-answers from today. The reason we are playing so many of these, as I mentioned earlier, is the dark comedy involved here, the horrifying black comedy that's involved here, a display of incompetence beyond anything I think any of us ever thought was possible, that the chief law enforcement officer of the United States could be this much of a half-wit. Of course, when you consider who put him there, when you consider who nominated him, and the fact that the Senate can, of course, it was a Republican Senate then, but this is obscene. After 230-some years of this republic being in existence, we don't deserve this. We don't deserve this. And the world doesn't deserve to have this illegal, murderous son of a bitch making rules and laws on the fly that puts every person on this planet at risk. They don't deserve this. We don't deserve this. How much longer are we going to put up with this? From Dominic in Japan, Mike, I wonder if some of Bush's, quote, aggressive interrogation techniques, end quote, would refresh Gonzo's memory. How much you want to bet that I don't recall works at Guantanamo or Abu Ghraib? Yeah. Obviously, you know, I mean, we could get Gonzalez to confess to everything, just like they got Sheikh Khalid or Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to confess to everything. Just put this son of a bitch upside down for about 5 minutes and run water down his throat. Then we'll see what Gonzalez remembers, huh? This is from Gordon in Oklahoma City. I've got a cure for Abu Gonzalez's dementia. It's sodium pentothal, commonly referred to as truth serum. Mike, I'm sure you remember the rumors back in the 60s or 70s concerning a plot to dump loads of LSD into the drinking water. Perhaps we should revive a similar plot, assuming one ever existed, and unload a few tankers full of truth serum into the country's water supply. Think about it. What would this do to Fox News? Furthermore, imagine the fun you and Kathy will have playing sound clips of too much Cappuccino Perino, who would sound like a chipmunk on crack as she spills the beans on everyone and demonstrates to everyone's amazement that sound can travel at light speed. Even the little voices inside Bush's head will tell the truth for a change. Something like, I should resign for the good of the country. From Warren. Hiyas. The Attorney General seems to have no brain. No brain at all. It's been stolen and eaten. I recall a zombie march where folks dress as zombies and congregate just for fun. What do we want? Brains. When do we want them? Brains. Our government, it doesn't work now, does it? See ya. Love you, Mike. What do we want? Brains. When do we want them? Brains. From TP, whatever happened to Elliot Abrams? Yes, they are creating reality in the minds of the Senate, who think that the destruction of the patsy Alberto Gonzalez is anything but a sleight of hand, a distraction from the shadow government being run by Abrams and Cheney. And why is Cy Hirsch treated like a dime novelist? Yeah. All right. Dianne Feinstein's turn again. And she found it difficult to believe that Gonzo didn't have any idea how this list of attorneys to be fired was compiled. Did it appear on stone tablets carried by Moses? Did it just I don't know, like what Joseph Smith was what was revealed to Joseph Smith's gold tablets? Something. Where did this stuff come from? Gonzalez stammers around, trying to pan it off on Kyle Sampson, who denied being the decider in his testimony of last month. This is ridiculous. First, Gonzo said he decided. Now he says it's Sampson. But the obvious truth is, it's Harriet Myers, Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, somebody at the White House. Who? What? Where?
I would like to know who selected the individuals that were on that list.
Senator.
Somebody had to. A human being had to.
I'm not going to characterize Mr. Sampson's testimony. Let me tell you what I understood,
okay,
and what I expected,
yeah,
was that Mr. Sampson would speak with the senior leadership in the department,
mm-hmm,
people that knew about the performance of United States attorneys, and then he would come to me with a recommendation, a consensus recommendation.
Yeah.
Because Mr. Sampson,
well, Mr. Sampson testified he didn't. He was just the aggregate.
No, and I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I'm not. That is that if that's what he testified. I'm sure that's his perception of his role.
That's his perception of his role. But Senator Feinstein, look closely. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look. Look at me. How many fingers am I holding up? Feinstein concludes asking Gonzo again to clarify how those seven names got on the firing list. Who suggested them? Please answer me. Outrageously, Gonzalez says,
well, I'd like to know too, Senator. but you know, I don't want to crap all over somebody else's investigation.
Who's in charge? Who's the Attorney General? Who's on first? He doesn't know. Who told him to fire those attorneys? He just doesn't know.
I have a very hard time with your telling me to this day you don't know who suggested that each of these seven people on that December 7th list.
I don't.
Senator, the committee, I'm presuming, has interviewed the people involved in this process.
I don't know.
And can ask that question. I would like to know.
I would like
to ask that question.
I don't know.
But out of respect for this investigation, I have not done so.
I don't know. Senator, you're struggling. All of you on this committee, all 19 of you or 18, you're struggling. Except my good friend Orrin Hatch, who believes that Christ revealed himself through gold tablets found in Pennsylvania. But Senator, all of you, you're making a huge error. We create reality. We told you this months ago. Don't you remember? Don't you remember when people inside the Bush crime family said to the world, we create reality. And when you finally catch up to us, we've moved on and created another reality. Senator, all of you, why don't you just relax? It's okay. Everything's okay. Senator Ben Cardin took a second shot at Gonzo, asking him what involvement Monica Goodling had in all this. Why would she choose to take the Fifth Amendment? Naturally, Gonzalez has no idea. Of course not. Just because she was on his senior staff, just because she was like number two, or was it three, or one, I don't remember. It doesn't mean anything.
First, I want to make sure the record's clear about your knowledge of what Monica Goodling might be able to contribute to the her input or what she knows on the process with the dismissal of the U.S. attorney. So I just want to give you that opportunity to make sure our record is complete about your knowledge in that regard.
Senator, I'm not sure I have anything to add about Ms. Goodling's role. I don't have any specific recollection about what else she might have done.
I don't remember. Who is this Goodling? Is it a changeling, a Goodling, a foundling? I don't know. This is unbelievable stuff. And with all due respect to the murdered students, nobody in America, very few people in America, unless you had C-SPAN 3, could hear and watch this. Do you know how much coverage was given to this on the nightly news tonight? On ABC, about a minute 30. On NBC, about a minute 10. If that. It's all slain students all the time. It's a horrifying story, isn't it? The slain students. It's awful. And what did McCain say today? Well, I don't believe there ought to be any gun control. And what did Giuliani? I don't believe there should be any gun control. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Redefining Anger Management. It's Mike Malloy, only on Nova M Radio.
President Bush was pleased with the Attorney General's testimony today. After hours, the testimony, which answered all of the Senator's questions and provided thousands of pages of documents, he again showed that nothing improper occurred. He admitted the matter could have been handled much better, and he apologized for the disruption to the lives of the U.S. attorneys involved, as well as for the lack of clarity in his initial responses. The Attorney General has the full confidence of the President, and he appreciates the work he's doing at the Department of Justice to help keep our citizens safe from terrorists, our children safe from predators, our government safe from corruption, our minds safe from reality, and our streets free from gang violence. First-term Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, Democrat, Rhode Island, put the finishing touches on Gonzo. By this point, the cable news channels were quoting unnamed White House aides who told reporters that today's hearing was like watching a baby seal clubbing, and the Gonzo went down in flames. President Bush was pleased with the Attorney General's testimony today. However, Bush claimed he still stood by his Tejano and had full confidence in him. After hours of testimony, which he answered all of the senator's questions, I guess Bush's claim is true. He's the only person in the executive branch more clueless than Gonzalez is. Senator Whitehouse went into great detail, complete with charts, as to the intricate involvement of the White House, the senator or the actual House, hard to tell, into the investigations all these attorneys were conducting. Why was the White House, not the senator, but, oh well, so involved in criminal and civil cases that these eight U.S. attorneys in question were involved in?
This was the Clinton protocol, and there were four people, the President, the Vice President, the Deputy White House Counsel, and the White House Counsel, who could participate in these kind of discussions about cases and matters and initiate them with the Department of Justice. And on the Department of Justice side, the only people who were qualified to engage in those discussions were the Attorney General, the Deputy Attorney General, and the Associate Attorney General. So they had narrowed very carefully the field of people who could have these discussions, which I think is a very important safeguard, to narrow that portal, to police it. It's almost like there's an airlock there for those communications. Now, here's the result that I asked my staff to put together if you count all the people who are eligible under the new program. 417 folks in the White House who are eligible to have these contacts, and about 30-some in the Department of Justice. You were the White House counsel at the time. What possible interest in the administration of justice is there to kick the portal so wide open that this many people now can engage directly about criminal cases and matters compared to before?
Senator, let me say this. I'm not aware that there are initial contacts between the White House and the Department of Justice.
Quite a pronounced change, isn't it?
Well, it is a pronounced change. However, my recollection may be a little fuzzy. I think it's very, very important. I agree with you. It is important to try to limit the communication about specific criminal cases between the counsel's office and the Department of Justice.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's good. What time is it? Do you want to see my little string thing again?
Look, see, you put it around your fingers and pull, and it's called La Cradle del Gato. Eh? You like this, Senator? You think?
So the White House, Senator Whitehouse, nails Gonzalez with this question regarding the McKay firing, about how in the world Harriet Myers got specific information about the evidence and very specific details of a voter fraud case McKay was investigating, if the Justice Department had very limited contact with the White House, as Gonzalez has testified. Caught Bush's little Tejano red-handed with that one. All torture boy could say was that he wasn't familiar with the situation, and sometimes stories are wrong.
And then we hear stories like we've heard of United States Attorney McKay reporting that when he went to the White House to be interviewed, he was told by White House counsel Harriet Myers that he had, and this is the word he used in quotes, mishandled the voter fraud investigation in the recent election. She had some idea of what the evidence was.
I don't know.
In the voter fraud case in McKay's district that did not go forward.
I don't know.
How on earth did she get evidence regarding a Department of Justice case sufficient to form the professional opinion that the United States attorney had mishandled that case?
Sir, I am not familiar with the conversation that occurred between Mr. McKay and Ms. Myers. I like you. I'm aware of the reports, but sometimes...
Didn't that send up a big red flag?
Sometimes stories are wrong.
I don't know. Stories are wrong. Senator, how many fingers am I holding up? Quickly. Quickly.
He's the primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
What a crazy, crazy party. Never seen so many people.
26 before the hour. All right, here's the last one. Honest to God, we finally made it, Kathy, and I've got to give my producer just an absolute kudos here for a real effort to put all of this sound together. Kathy spent the entire day in the studio cutting this stuff out, and she's still sane, I think. I don't know. She may not be. I will know in about 25 minutes when the program's over. But a real effort, and I appreciate it, Catherine. I usually don't mention stuff like that on the air, but you really outdid yourself today. Charles Schumer here. Senator Schumer then puts the nail in the coffin, telling Gonzalez for the good of the country he should step down. Gonzalez basically replies that, hey, sucker, the burden of proof is on you. Prove me guilty. Schumer replied this wasn't a criminal case, so there was no burden of proof. But the head of the Department of Justice, for God's sake, was held to a higher standard than, well, a criminal. After this statement, Leahy Inspector adjourned the session, stating it was pointless to continue, since they weren't going to get any answers out of Gonzalez anyway, because, you know, like his memory is so, you know, fuzzy.
You've answered I don't know or I can't recall to close to 100 questions. You're not familiar with much of the workings of your own department. And we still don't have convincing explanations of the who, when, and why in regard to the firing of the majority of the 8 U.S. attorneys. Thus, you haven't met any of these three tests. I don't see any point in another round of questions, and I urge you to re-examine your performance, and for the good of the department and the good of the country, step down.
I agree with you that I have the burden of proof of providing to you the reasons why I made my decision. But the burden of proof as to whether or not something improper happened here, respectfully, Senator, I think lies upon those making the allegations.
Mr. Chairman. That would be true if this were a criminal trial, sir. Our standard for attorney general isn't simply no criminal standard. It's a much higher standard than that.
Not with these people. President Bush was pleased with the attorney general's testimony today. After hours of testimony in which he answered all of the senator's questions and provided thousands of pages of documents, he again showed that nothing improper occurred. He admitted the matter could have been handled much better, and he apologized for the disruption to the lives of the U.S. attorneys involved, as well as for the lack of clarity in his initial responses. The Attorney General has the full confidence of the President, and the President appreciates the work the Attorney General is doing at the Department of Justice to help keep our citizens safe from terrorists, our children safe from predators, our government safe from corruption, and our streets free from gang violence.
Sei lontana, sogno all'orizzonte, manca le parole. E io sì lo so che sei con me, tu mia luna, tu sei qui con me. Mio sole, tu sei qui con me, con me, con me.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I just happen to love that music. There really is nothing witty or ironic or cynical that I can add to what we have just played for you from today's testimony. There really isn't. So, for once, why not just play it straight, Malloy? Okay, let's do that. What Gonzalez, Alberto Gonzalez, demonstrated to today was just a total lack of respect for the institution of the Justice Department, for the United States Senate, and indeed for the Constitution of the United States. But we have to remember one thing. Gonzalez is a cockroach. Gonzalez is nothing. Gonzalez is as replaceable as any of the ciphers that have been in the Bush crime family. The people really running this crime family, the people at the top of this disgusting garbage heap, Cheney, Abrams, Bush, Rumsfeld, Rove, could give a damn about Alberto Gonzalez. Gonzalez was put in that position for the same reason that all of these incompetent thugs were put in these positions. In order to do nothing except corrupt, destabilize, tear to pieces, laugh, make a mockery of, and destroy what it's taken this country 230 difficult years to attempt to put together. Gonzalez will soon be gone. He doesn't matter. He is as replaceable as any other filthy part of this Bush crime family. It doesn't matter. I can't help but realize when I listen to some of this today, just how far around the bend we've really gone. You know, if you're a regular listener to this program, you hear, you know, my just going ballistic or postal or almost every night. And I don't know why I still get this infuriated, this pissed off, this enraged. I really don't. It's an exercise in absolute and utter futility. As long as this Bush crime family exists in any manner, way, shape, or form, it's going to corrupt and destroy, as it has done the Bush crime family for over 100 years. They're about death and corruption and death and corruption and death. If I were a subscriber to any religious mythology that entailed an Antichrist or a figure similar to that particular figure in the Christian mythology, I would be utterly and absolutely convinced that this administration represents that. I've never seen anything like this in my life. The torture will continue. The killing will continue. The destruction of the rule of law will continue. These people using the Constitution of the United States as nothing more than bathroom tissue will continue. The absolute corruption of the principles that put this country together and the principles that have evolved over the past two centuries to try to work towards justice will continue to be corrupted by these monsters. And it is so incredibly simple to get rid of them. It is so ungodly simple to get rid of them. All it requires is for somebody, to introduce articles of impeachment and move towards removing them. It doesn't matter if the Senate convicts. Just the idea of impeaching them, of the United States House of Representatives and the people saying, "No, God damn it, we've had enough! We've had enough!" And that hasn't happened. What's it going to take? What in the hell is it going to take? Watching this mockery of an attorney general today, sitting there, just totally disrespecting the United States Senate, totally, completely telling them all to go straight to hell. I don't recollect. I don't remember. I don't have a recollection. That doesn't make any sense. I can't recall. I don't think that happened. That never happened. None of this happened. If you want to remove me from office, you rat bastards, try it. Try it! I'm sick of this. I'm starting to get old. It feels like I'm starting all over again. Last 3 years, just pretend. And I said goodbye to you. Goodbye to everything that I knew. You were the one I loved. The one thing that I tried to hold on to. I'll tell you tonight, it's going to be Leonard Cohen and some wine. Thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered the program and answered your calls. Our associate producer out in Phoenix at KPHX. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall at MikeMalloy.com. And our moderators at the website there, the message board. And again, a round of applause, please, for Catherine Bay, who produced this program tonight. Thank you very much, Catherine. I'll applaud you, kid. I mean this. If you're not signed up at Nova M Radio for podcasts and downloads and so on and so forth, you should get there and snag this program. Get what you just heard. I know it's 3 hours long, but if you take out the commercials, it's not that long. Take out the breaks so that you have a record. I'm telling you, do this. Do this. We, of course, Kathy keeps every sound bite that she's ever recorded in how long have you been producing the show? 6 years? Oh, my God. But this is one that you do not want to let slip between your fingers, these sound bites. You know, once it's gone, it's gone. I realize it's out there somewhere on C-SPAN, and you might be able to download it, but you're going to have to wade through a lot of crap. You can get this by going to NovaMradio.com, sign up to become a founding member. It's $9.99 a month, I believe, or $100 a year. I realize everybody's hitting on you for money. I understand that. But the sound that she captured today is definitely keeper material, because when the crap hits the fan, and it's going to, Truth Seeker, you know it as well as I do. You know that we're heading for a brick wall at 90 miles an hour in this republic. You know it. This can't continue. This war in Iraq, this criminalization of the Justice Department, this destruction of regulatory agencies, this totally right-wing Supreme Court, it can't go on much longer. There is going to be something that's going to occur in this country that's going to bring it to a stop, one way or the other. And in listening tonight, and like you, these sound bites, I listened to as much of the testimony today as I could, but the sound bites that we played for you tonight, I heard them the first time, as you did. You know, I have no idea what she does in the studio during the day. If I come near the door, it's like, get out of here. You know, take the kid and get out of here. And if I don't move quickly, then it gets, you know, it's shrieking and yelling. She's a very high-strung artist, Catherine. She gets very intense. So I only heard this as you heard it. And I'm just suggesting, and I'm strongly suggesting this, get this, get these words from Gonzalez today. It's not so much the questions, although the questions from the senators certainly set the tone or the landscape for his answers. But get this. Whew. Now, as far as any calls, yeah, let's. There she is, Marge.
Yeah.
Is calling. I think you're going to be it tonight, Marge.
Oh, that's you. I didn't hear. I guess there's a delay, and I sort of lose track. Way
yeah.
to go, Kathy.
You sound like Gonzalez. You lose track.
Well, that was going to be my first question.
Yeah,
did anybody keep score and see if he said I don't remember more times than Uncle Ron did when they were asking about the Iran-Contra?
No, I think Reagan, when he was deposed, if I remember right, he said he didn't recall or couldn't recall or had no memory or no recollection over 200 times.
Oh, well, shucks.
Yeah, so this was...
this was only 100.
This was only a second-place finish for Gonzalez, so...
Well, that sort of goes with the territory. Nobody ever did figure out who the hell outed Valerie Klein yet, did they? Or Plain, excuse me.
Well, no, but so what?
Oh, son of a gun. We forgot about that.
Yeah, I guess it was Rove. No, wait a minute. It was, who was it, Kathy? Who outed Valerie? I who knows? It's just gone, Marge. It's gone.
You know, the thing of it is, you know, we take it literally. The Constitution, remember that piece of paper?
Yeah.
Says that Congress shall make no law. But by God, it doesn't say anything about these corporate bastards that sort of sneak in and squeeze the hell out of the rest of the economy.
Yeah, that's so
I
true.
I mean, you know, sell guns, testify against yourself, a free press. What the hell is that?
A memory?
Oh, geez. Listen, I'm going to tell you real quick. Remember the governor of New Jersey sort of ran off the side of the road?
And
it took him about a week to figure out that he was speeding?
Yes. Well, it was his driver.
Well,
a state trooper driving 91 miles an hour.
Heavens to Betsy at Murgatroyd. A state trooper was speeding. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Anyhow, the point I was wanting to make is, since about 2005, they started putting little black boxes in all the vehicles.
Yes.
They can't improve their gas mileage, but by God, they can put in a little black box.
That's true.
And that's going to tell the world and your insurance company and the police and whoever the hell else, you know, how fast you were going. Did you step on a brake or on a gas? Were you asleep at the wheel? Who the hell knows? And it'll go against your record.
Yes, it will.
You know, a little black isn't that sugar and molasses. I almost caught myself.
Yeah, you almost did, but you didn't, so that's cool.
So anyhow, well, once again, go, Kathy. You know, keep up with these beggars. And when next we speak, I'm going to ask you about the voting rights in Florida, because I know we're running out of time.
Yeah, we are indeed. It's time to go home and have a glass of wine. Marge, thanks for checking in, okay?
Take care, my friend.
All right, you too.
Bye.
All right, folks. Sorry about the lack of phone calls tonight, but a fun show tomorrow night. We're going to have, what are we having? We're going to have Bush talking about what?
If I can find the sound, we're going to have some of Bush talking about chicken plucking and how polls go poof from his town hall today.
Oh, yeah, up in Ohio, someplace west of Dayton. Look at the map. See if you can get west of Dayton. We'll see you tomorrow night, True Seeker. Thanks for participating. Take care, okay? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.